Good morning. We are in Maseches Trumos. We are in Perek Beis, the second parak. We are up to Mishnah Beis. The last time we learned, we discussed the halachas of taking off truma. You have a mixture of some tevel, which is tar, and some tevel, which is tameh. So you have some different produce, different items which have to have truma taken off from it. Some of it is tar, some of it is tameh. Now we said last time that both truma tahara and truma tameya, whether it's pure or it's impure, needs to be given to the kohen. If it's tahar, the kohen could eat it. If it's tummy, the kohen could burn it, and he could use it for his benefit. So if it's oil, he could burn it to make a fire. And if it's something else, if it's grain, he could use it in his fireplace to warm up his house. Now, last time we learned, we discussed the halachas of taking truma from something which is tahar on something tummy. We discussed whether or not that would be mutter. The reason why not is because it's a halacha, you have to take off truma mukaf. It has to be taken off when it's put together. And we're concerned that perhaps someone won't do that because he doesn't want to make a tame. Mishnah Beis discusses another case, in tarmin min atame al tar, the other way around. Here you're taking off truma from some food items which are tame, and you want to exempt with that some food items which are tahar. So that's really a much bigger problem, because ultimately what you're doing is you're giving the kayin a bad deal, because he's going to be getting, instead of the truma which is edible, he's going to get truma which he has to throw into his fireplace, and perhaps he doesn't want that. So you're mafsid the kayin with that. So the Mishnah says, you cannot take off truma from truma which is tame on truma which is tar, and thereby exempt the truma which is tahar. V'im taram, if you did it anyways, so now here says the Mishnah, depends. If it was shegeg, if you did it by mistake, in other words, you didn't know that it was tameh, truma se truma, it's fine. U'mezid lo yasa klum. If indeed he did it intentionally, he intentionally wanted to give the kayin from what was tameh instead of giving him from what's tar, then in such a case, lo yasa klum. Now this is machlekes, what lo yasa klum means. The Gemara in Yevamos has a machlekes as to whether Leah Saklum means just the whole thing didn't work, or he needs to repeat it, and what he took off originally remains truma. The Mishnah continues, V'chein, Ben Levi, a Levi who gets, the halacha is, he gets his meiser, he has to take off truma's meiser from there. So he did the same thing. Shehaya Le Meiser Tevel, he had meiser which was tevel, needed to have truma taken off to be given to the kayin. Haya Mafrish Allah V'haylech. So what he did was, he set aside a certain amount of his meiser, and every time he got more meiser, he said, another piece of that meiser should go to the kayin. This is a way of doing it in a very easy, organized fashion. Like this, he knows he has one area where he constantly designates truma from there, and gives it to the kayin. The problem was that designated area for truma was tameh. So now, if it was shegi, he didn't know that it was tameh. So the masha asa asoi, what he did was fine, it's good to give it to the kayin as is, and he was fine. Mezid lo yasa klum. If you did it intentionally, and the same thing as earlier, lo yasa klum, it does not work. Rabbi Yehuda Haimer, Yehuda says that this shegig over here, this mistake, this unintentional truma which is given from truma which is tameh, depends what type of shegig it was. If he originally knew that what he had was tameh, and he absentmindedly mistook it for something else, so now he was really slightly negligent, because he knew that he had some truma which is tameh, and he now just happened to have made a mistake in terms of what it was. In such a case, says Yehuda, that's called a shegig akar of lemezid. In such a case, le'asav le'klum. Now, in Mishnah Gimel, we'll start this message tomorrow. It's actually a very, very important Mishnah, and there's many sugyas and halach which are built from this with regard to Hilchas Shabbos, because once we start talking about the differences between shegig and mezid, I'm going to discuss what happens if someone is Mechal Shabbos, B'Shegig or B'Mezid, and it's a fascinating sugya. We can't learn the whole thing now, but the whole sugya of Ma'aseh Shabbos, we'll try to sum it up tomorrow in the 5 minutes that we have. Have a wonderful day.